On today's episode of Solana Made Easy, we focus the entire discussion on Yaw's marketplace, eliminating artist and creator and marketplace royalties. The conversation varied with a ton of different speakers, ranging from personalities in the space to project founders from Yaku and DGods, discussing what they felt the market may do in reaction to this change, as well as how they anticipate not just traders, but project owners and creators managing their projects that do trade OTC and without fees. Tune in live to the Solana Made Easy show at Easy Eats Bodega on Twitter, Monday to Thursday at 5 p.m. But let's dive into it.
What is going on, Solana ecosystem? We got an eventful day on our hands. So much going down. So many royalties getting wiped off the board. We got OpenSea laying off employees. Magic Eden teasing some ETH functionality. Man, it sounds like it's battle of the marketplaces right now. A ton of new developments popping off. It seems like it's the center of every single space I've been involved in today. How people are navigating, how they're feeling. Emotions are running high, but man, I'm excited to hear the conversation today. Running Man, Pio, what's going on?
Oh, not much, buddy. I mean, we were just discussing how, OpenSea is clearly just completely imploding here, laying off 90% of their staff. 90% going to disappear. No, I'm just kidding. It's 20%. However, I think that this inevitably is going to lead to the ongoing rise of Magic Eden through their shit posting and community connection. And in turn, the rise of Solana over Ethereum, really leaving all Ethereum NFTs worthless.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's been the plan the entire time. I've never had a doubt about that. It was why I went all in on Sol back in September. You guys FUDded it, faded it, told me I was insane, and here we are. OpenSea's going under, laying off 130% of their employees, and oddly enough, all of them are going to work at Magic Eden. So how the tides have turned, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, it's a great trade. Everyone just going directly from OpenSea to Magic Eden. And yeah, the tides have turned in a big way. You know, I thought that we were going to be the kind of, you know, the nobility over here with Ethereum. But it turns out Easy's going to be the king of the whole realm here. And I'm probably going to end up like locked in a cage.
Yeah, no, you're going straight under due to all the FUD the past 9 months in the and now the acceptance. So, I mean, it's okay. Like, we can teach an old dog new tricks. Glad you're finally turning the other cheek here. When Solana PFP, Pio?
When something actually good comes out on Solana.
All right. But hey, we got a ton to talk about today. Running Man, how you been?
How's it going, Easy? All right. Pio, firstly, congratulations on a great space in Nifty Portal earlier. I learned a lot. Some real big brain talk going on in there. I'd advise anybody and listening on that. So that's first.
Are you being serious?
Yeah,
for sure. That's false advertising.
No. Yeah, I'll sat all the way through that. Secondly, I mean, I'm wondering if it's a coincidence, Easy, that Solana rhymes with drama, or if that was set up from the outset, or if that was just a coincidence. I mean, yeah, we've got Yoria with their marketplace. And I mean, what's concerning to me is I mean, I've taken a look. Their fees are at 0% as well as royalty fees, aren't they? Which basically means, and they deriving any type of income to run this marketplace at all? I mean, well, that's the first question.
They have a listing fee. So unlike the other marketplaces, they charge like a microtransaction to list. And then in addition to that, to get access to the 0% fees and royalties, you actually have to either burn a singular YAW, which is like 3 cents, or stake anywhere from 5 to 30 of their NFTs.
Okay, gotcha. If they're going to compete with Magic Eden, I mean, it's going to, you know, we've pretty much, I mean, you mentioned September there, we've pretty much been here from the start. And I mean, I think me and you was probably one of the first ones on the first day of Eden opening of actually using them. So I've actually saw their evolution and what it takes for a marketplace to actually like get up to speed with like the transaction volume and what's required to run Sol drops and Sol projects smoothly. I mean, this coming in here, I mean, am they going to really have a budget to like pay staff to be able to like run this model and compete with Magic Eden? Or am they just going to turn up for 6 months, realize that it doesn't work, and just go away again and just disrupt everything in the meantime. Because, I can just have a feeling any type of volume that it's this marketplace is just going to crash it instantly, basically.
And we've already seen issues with OS from like the perspective of, OS had the perspective of them trying to launch some Soul stuff, having to do it in a more limited manner. So now with Yaw picking it up too here, the volume is going to be interesting from a server side. I don't know how many OTC deals they've had. We've watched Magic Eden dump funds into maintaining their uptime with high transaction volumes. So like, I definitely have the same concern. I don't know what the infrastructure looks like. That's like a big speculative kind of play there. What bothers me about it though, man, is like, I know the conversation today is that projects should not rely on royalties, but at the same time, like, royalties are a big aspect of this. I do think this is going to shift to lower royalties, yeah. But we even saw like Liberty Square, 4%. That volume first day was mad. They did over 50% of Magic Eden's daily volume.
I've actually said by charging 10%, these 10% royalties, plus two, is actually costing projects money in the long term. Just give me some JPEGs, 5% plus two, and let me trade. No drama. But exactly. I think there's a different conversation for lower royalties, which I do believe in, and I think they're actually more beneficial for a project. But to actually eliminate them completely, if any prospective project's going to look to launch on Solana or Ethereum at the moment, I think I can see them pivoting towards Ethereum. If I'm honest with you completely,
it would be interesting. I mean, it's a totally different subset of information and like contract they'd have to manage. That's like the big reason that this is possible for them to drive it towards the Soul market here. But we got a bunch of hands, so I'm curious to hear some others' thoughts on this. I'm sure the dialogue today will largely be around this whole 0% creator and 0% marketplace fees. Benny, working with Hyperspace, definitely curious of your thoughts on it all. What's going on?
Yeah, way to throw me under the bus there. I was just going to say, with regards to like creator royalties, we ran a poll. The majority are answering between like 1% to 2% and 3% to 4%. I feel like, as well as like combined with the, people talking in the space, everybody's been saying like, we need creator royalties. Like personally, I think that's what makes an NFT an NFT. Otherwise, it's just a JPEG. That's what's unique about Web3. And I think with marketplaces, I think eventually we'll go down towards like the zero or very low fees. It's just a matter of time. But at the moment, there's nothing really challenging that with Magic Eden, for example, like percent, like, if they can do that, why would they change at the moment? Like they're on top for a reason.
I think it's going to be a race to the bottom almost. Like that's the situation we're in is there's going to be a competitive landscape here where marketplaces have to drive that fee lower. But you bring up such a good point. Like this is where I feel like that revenue from royalties is what makes a project want a community. Like that was my argument all day. Like you want to incentivize your holders to be a supporter of you and a fan of what the project's doing. And royalties is your kickback from them making money, believing in you early. Without that royalty, there's just like no incentive to drive value to existing holders. And it seems like to me, the value instead is to just keep dumping NFTs on the market to get more funds. It's like, it reminds me of Web2 venture funding. Like you have a series A, a seed round, a series A, a series B, a series C. And that's what I feel like projects are going to lead to instead of driving value to current holders because there's no incentive for the project to do that. Frisk, what's going on?
Hey, Easy. So this is one of my favorite conversations we've had in a while because I think that there's actually like very valid points on both sides of things. And I like hearing both. I've seen a good chunk of people saying that this is not like a good thing at all. I've seen a few people saying that this is for the best and that it really shows like full ownership over the NFT. And it's going to motivate more projects. I have very strong opinions that this is going to not do well. I think it is a very strong, like everything you were saying, Easy, on the timeline today, I agree. I don't think it incentivizes projects to continue building on that point. Like I think Frank said, like he's 100% right with Bored Ape Yacht Club. Do you really think they'd be where they are today, 8%? And so like the thing is everyone's like, well, why can't I own the full part of my, like my NFT? Why can't I own the full art that goes along with it? And so like, cause obviously when you go to sell it, there's those opportunities to like lose money, but there's also opportunities to gain money. It's such a hard gamble here when you're trying to figure out what it is that you like, where you're trading. Cause obviously NFTs aren't looked at as assets, but they're looked at as art. The gray area is so, so strong here. I don't know how much I trust Yaw. I don't know how much I like their like the model that they have set up. Running Man made a great point about how they can't even handle the marketplace yet. I know some people who have tried using it and it's not even working. There's so many factors here, but long story short, my opinion is if you really can't stand the 7% royalty and you want the full money from a trading standpoint, why are you trading NFTs? Why not go trade like something else?
Coins, DEXs, exchanges. There's a deposit fee. That's about it. You get leverage. Don't have it on NFTs. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. My argument here is it's endless on my opinion on it all. But I want to pass it over to Hambo. Hambo, what's going on?
Yo. Sorry, what's up? Fuck the market stuff. Congrats on 40K. Congrats on the kickflip. Are we moving Solana Made Easy to the morning slot now? With Solana
Summer
coming along?
Yeah, it's going to eventually take over.
Let's go.
It's clear that this is a new time awesome. Is 9 a.m. to 10:30. We understand there may be a conflict of interest, but we'll see how it works out.
Bring it on.
Awesome.
Theo, what's going on?
I was talking trash.
Typical. Nugget, what's happening?
So I've been in a multitude of spaces today, and I guess this is kind of the hot topic. For people complaining about, I understand, because I've seen projects be very greedy in how they put the royalties. I feel like maybe paying a 10 to 12% on top of the 2% for Magic Eden, it can take a toll on your overall profits, and a lot of people struggle to take profits because of some fees. But I really don't feel like, especially when you have projects like Liberty Squares where putting at 4%, it's really not that big of a deal. If the only people that's really hurting is just people who are trying to buy an NFT and then sell it the next day for a very small profit margin, it's unnecessary to make royalty 0% because it's not, it may be benefiting you, but I feel like it's hurting the project in itself because a lot of projects use their royalty funds to benefit the holders, especially when tokenomics were very huge in the space. You can't keep a stable token with just mint funds. That's not happening. And since communities tend to demand a lot of stuff from the owners, whether it be merch, whether it be their game, you can't solely rely on mint funds because that's a limited amount of money. That stuff has to be put towards other stuff like paying the people. It goes into just people's pockets, so, you know, they can live their life because this is some people's jobs. Anyone, if you're complaining about 8%, 6%, 10% fees on your NFT, you really need to stop trading NFTs. Please go trade something else. But
it's funny too, just hearing the perspectives. Like, it's like this percentage, it seems small, but like, I think Frank is doing a great job with the transparency, showing what the OTC deals are doing without this like elimination. So like, that's an interesting perspective too on how they can try to adjust that. I do think DGods are an interesting case at 10%. It is relatively high. They've openly said that they're going to be dropping that percentage. So I think seeing how that dynamic changes, the tough part is looking at the sales that have happened already on Yaw for what has actually worked. They've all been 0% creator royalties. So yes, they give the option, but dude, it's like you give somebody that option to not pay anything. They're not going to pay anything. Like, it's just human psychology. But Running Man, I want to hit you real quick, but then pass it down to Poppy. I know Poppy, I'm sure, has a large perspective on this.
I mean, I agree with Nugget, that, you know, there are projects that are greedy with royalties, but I'm all for a project, you know, asking for fair value, you know, because royalties, you know, they're an incentive and they run hand in hand with a project's success. So more royalties are generated with the success of the project. I mean, that's first. I mean, as well as we go, you know, we're talking marketplaces. I'd rather pay the 2% and have a smooth experience. You know, like, you know, there's a lot of businesses that pay Amazon fees and eBay fees that, you know, rely on the marketplaces to actually, like, you know, go out there and get customers and get catchment. And I don't mind paying the 2%. I mean, I remember when, you know, we used to pay Solanart 3%. You know, Eden come along and dropped it to 2%. I mean, if these fees start crashing down to zero, you know, how are these marketplaces going to provide a smooth user experience?
Well, that's an interesting point there, because it's like that percentage, I do think, gets lower. Like, it wouldn't shock me if we start to see a marketplace operating at like 0.5%. But no. There's other avenues here. And that's like the counter argument, the devil's advocate to basically where I stand on it being pro royalties. People say find other avenues for revenue, whether I think marketplaces have the edge because marketing endeavors, launchpad functionality, exposing more chains to an ecosystem. There's just a lot of ways that they can drive that interest. But I do think that marketplace royalties are going to get cheaper, especially if people are pushing back this heavily on like artist royalties, but still want to save money somewhere.
So I think that's kind of like the happy medium. We'll see how it pans out. But Poppy, what's going on?
What's up, man? Good to be here. What a crazy day. Glad to have something meaningful to talk about, actually, during the bear market, as awkward as this conversation is sometimes. But I really want to first reiterate that I agree a lot with what Frisk was saying earlier, where there's really good points being made on both sides of this argument. I don't think it's as black and white as we would all like it to be. But I also think that we're trying to fit a lot of different projects into the same bucket. And I think that how this affects projects is very different. We're not all made the same. Not everyone has the same goals. Not every project is opening up to be a business, which is essentially what everyone is saying projects now need to pivot to, who are on the side of the no royalties, right? It's, well, royalties is not a sustainable business model. Well, not every project is meant to be a business. It's supposed to be about culture and community. And of course, there are projects that are businesses who it would be very foolish of them to use royalties as their main business proposition for growth, but they're not all made the same. So I think people just need to think a little bit more about the variety of ways that this can impact people who are participating in this space and address those on a more individual basis. Because I think it's interesting that, I mean, Yaw themselves have even said, hey, we're not going to touch one of one artists. Well, why is it limited to them? You know, is Monkey Dow going to
rule? Hell out of me too.
Like, why is that the one? I mean, there are so many other culture small collections I can think of that to me fall into that same category. And so I they're trying to sort of ride the line, but I think it's just missing things a little, you know?
What's interesting for me is that it was like, they were like, yeah, we won't touch one of one artists. We'll just verify everything else. So all you're incentivizing here is just another new marketplace to pull up and say, yeah, we're not verifying anything. You just don't have fees. So it's like, and they're just giving this opportunity to continue to sprint towards the bottom. I feel like I do think this is bringing, like, the conversation today has been awesome, in my opinion, because sure, this affects people's bags, but more specifically, like, this isn't a project specific. This is a marketplace. This is all projects. So I feel like the discussion has been a lot more civil than some other, like, project focused ones, especially in Solana. But Tom, you've had your hand up for a while. Then we're going to hit Manny, Siege, KTC. Tom, what's going on?
Hey, Easy. You know, I've jumped into some of these spaces today. I heard Frank talk a little bit about, you know, the money that they have, the unrealized losses they've had from OTC and stuff like that. You know, when it comes to fees coming from the financial world and running a couple businesses when I was younger as well, you know, one of the first things that I always found out and was taught from, like, my mentors is, you know, the boomer way to say it is, they always told me, you know, your business is a piece of wood and you can balance your piece of wood on, like, a bowling pin. That's your revenue stream. But if you have 12 bowling pins, you know, you can knock one out and your business still holds up. And I think royalties is part of that. It can't be the only one, but it has to be part of your revenue streams to successfully, like, have a business. You know, you can't pull from one area of just sales or just that to build a true business. And, you know, variable rates. I haven't heard that today. I'm sure I missed some stuff, but, you know, DGods hitting 300 floor could have a variable rate to changing those royalties so the actual physical soul amount goes down for those sellers, but they're still receiving a portion of that. You know, I don't know how difficult that would be on the ME side or, like, the contract side, but that was just something I've been thinking of today.
I've been seeing a lot of the variable rate kind of tweets and conversations and even some, like, math behind it on how you can keep a consistent part of that sale for every price point, basically a consistent weighted average. And I thought that was really interesting. People say that conflict and these situations drive innovation. And I think we are going to start to see a lot of that as a cause and effect, whether it's smart contracts getting updated to manage some of this. I know Frank had also discussed some things with Metaplex launching an update to Candy Machine that could technically still give the artist royalties, regardless of where this escrow wallet manages it. That's another interesting take here where it seems like even the underlying blockchain could see something. It's just like, I feel like this isn't going to change overnight. We're going to see a lot of back and forths on it. But I wanted to pass it over to Manny. Manny, what's going on?
Yeah, first thing I wanted to say to Pio is, I mean, as long as Solana has been around, at least somebody ended up with the money. We didn't contract lock $28 million into nothing. But really the biggest thing I wanted to say is, like, we've seen this problem before. It's called Napster, right? Like Napster did this to the music industry, and what we're going to see is what they should pivot to is a subscription-based model where I pay Magic Eden $20 to $40 a month and I get premium features, a trading feature, and then they get monthly recurring revenue. And then based on the number of transactions that you do to a collection, you give them a cut of that, right? Like the Apple Store will take 30% every single time. So they'll have their portion carved out. But I think that's the easiest way instead of trying to figure out this tiered math on like volume and all of these crazy things, like create monthly recurring revenue because that ARR will help your multiples on the next round.
I like this. Like it's a software as a service model. It's a subscription base. I mean, I chill the hell out of Soloist and what NFT nerds have done, but I think they've done a damn good job. They launched an NFT and have a monthly recurring model. The NFT gives you lifetime access, so you don't need to worry about the monthly subscription, but it's two separate revenue streams. They have I think it's like a 5% royalty on it. So they're not even going crazy on the royalty. But I think there's like this, to your point, a happy medium. My bigger concern though is eliminating royalties leads projects to focus only on business to business and not reward those original holders because they're not making anything. Like it's no longer revenue generating. So the focus of the business shifts from that. But I wanted to pass it over to KTC. KTC, what's going on? Ah, yeah, great point. Siege, what's going on?
I've been so excited for this discussion because ultimately, man, I think this is actually a really great move on Yaw's part because ultimately what they're doing is they're adding more competition to a marketplace that's been dominated, right? And this is going to push both sides to now ratchet up with respect to creating more value to who? Us, the end consumer. When we start to encourage those type of behaviors, Magic Eden is now on their toes to create more tools to now compete. And who benefits from that? I think that we do as NFT holders. And I don't know how it's going to play out, but I think encouraging people to look at these problems in a different light, like Yaw did, who's saying we can go another route. But now it's cool because now we have two people competing and then the markets get to decide. The consumers get to decide. But we should allow that dynamic to play out. Because that's what's going to make us stronger at the end of the day, I think, as a broader ecosystem.
I like that you bring it back to the consumer here because you are right. Like at the end of the day, the only people who are going to win here are the people that stick around through it because it's going to be what the market dictates. A lot of the takes today were around you have the ability to still trade on Magic Eden and pay that artist royalty, creator royalty, or you can now use this other marketplace. I know like just I trade a lot of volume and I'm still preferential to Magic Eden. But shit, I'm going to watch if volume picks up on Yaw because there is a saving grace there. My preference, however, is going to be keeping all the action on Magic Eden because I do want these projects to have a revenue stream and I'm okay paying that portion. But Siege, what's going on?
Yo. I kind of have a bunch of different thoughts. I want to touch on Manny's point about the Apple, SAS shit. I think that that's exactly what Magic Eden is doing right now. And I think that, you know, that revenue or that, that cut is taken, you know, at the expense of the seller, right? The person who already put money into the project and believes in the project, if they want to either A, take profits or B, you know, liquidate out and move into another project, they're the ones that are, you know, taking that back. Now, what's stopping a platform from just subleasing out their services? Why can't Magic Eden make a magiceden.io/fucking Solana monkey business and have their royalties have a flat rate paid at the beginning or some type of agreement? And why don't they just start to be more hands-on with projects? I think that's like the next point that is going to be very important is that there's going to be, you know, saturation of anything that happens, right? Like there's right now what's happening is saturation of royalties. What's going to happen with royalties? You know, what's going on? It's going to open up more businesses to come out as, you know, business to business. And then, you know, if the project, like the projects right now that are out, D-Gods, Famous Foxes, those are two examples I think that are great, is that, you know, they both aren't, you know, directly, I mean, yeah, you have perks for, you know, Dust and then Foxy, right? But I would say that D-Gods has a lot more, you know, awareness of the holder and, you know, benefits of the holder than Famous Foxes does. But Famous Foxes is basically a tech startup, right? And so, I mean, it's interesting to see that, you know, the moment that Famous Foxes, you know, decides to pay back their holders, it's going to fucking moon. It's because the value of it right now, the only value that we see out of most projects are just the intrinsic value of community. There's no real projects that are actually, you know, pumping out products that people are using yet. And I think that having no royalties allows for these companies to kind of see that, oh shit, this means fucking business, and this is something that we can take on. We saw Moonbirds basically be the first touch of entrepreneurship from Web 2 into Web 3. And we see that
some things, though, like I think of Super Shadowy Coders, not a PFP project, yeah, used freely, but look at their floor price and they have a token. They've been able to cause a reoccurring revenue model by renting out RPCs, but it's also the royalties that allow them to manage that. They haven't eliminated royalties, and yet they provide a massive service.
Yeah.
We're also seeing the Foxes pushed down from a 40 soul floor to a sub 30 now and still selling because there's no value add to holding that. They don't, I don't want to say they don't care about the community, because I know their community is going to tag the hell out of me and bother me for like the next 3 days for that statement. But at the same time, like, there's no value add. Foxy has no LP pool.
Their product right now.
That's it.
Yeah, that's really how it is. But I think that this is going to open the doors for A, competition, and B, innovation. And I think that what's going to happen from here on out is that we're just going to have this constant back and forth of royalties, no royalties. We're probably going to look back in a year and think that this was fucking stupid for even having this conversation. But I think that it's important to see that, you know, there is the democratization. I think I said that right. You know, being able to choose. And I think that we're going to see that, you know, the majority of the people that are using Yaw already are involved in the Yaw ecosystem in the first place and have the tokens. Like, I haven't interacted with Yaw because I don't have Yaw tokens and I don't have a quantum trader or anything like that. So I have no immediate need to be listing anything on there. And I think that once we start seeing more volume and once we, you know, start seeing how projects, you know, either crumble to the no royalties and just decide, fuck it, we're not going to, you know, have royalties in general, or people are going to stick to their guns. I think,
yeah, I do think it's going to lead to a change here for sure. Well, I think that's kind of the big thing.
And I think that's what's important about it. And like the biggest part is we're going to see the fortitude of the founders and the teams of these projects. If they're stuck to their guns, that's way more of a bullish sign than their fucking royalties are. I could eat the 2% if that meant that I'm, you know, was bullish on the conviction that I have of a project because a founder said, yo, I don't give a fuck what the royalties are. I don't give Yaw's another fucking marketplace. I'm going to just do what we've been doing, and we're just going to keep doing that. And that's why I have a lot of respect for a lot of projects. You know, D-Gods I have huge respect for in that sense, where it's, you know, being transparent, but also, you know, raising the concern and, you know, letting everyone know that they don't really care.
To an extent, but I guess you can't really say that D-Gods don't really care. Frank is looking out for the situation here to lower royalties and drive value back to selling on a marketplace. I think Frank's been in many spaces where he's kind of talked about that. So it'll be interesting to see what the adoption looks like, how many people actually use Yaw. We got a bunch of people requesting here, so we're going to be cycling through some speakers, getting a bunch of opinions and takes on this, because it's a general ecosystem thing here. I know we still got a lot of hands. Running Man, what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, just to touch on KTC's point about Yaw competing with Magic Eden, you know, they've actually zeroed this to actually come into the competition, basically. It's not based on merit of having a better platform. It's that they've actually, you know, had to send this to zero to try and even gain the door. And in my opinion, I'm not going to be able to run a smooth experience. And at the end of the day, Magic Eden is the best NFT marketplace in the space. That's one. I also find it interesting that Yaw, you know, their collection Solsteins and Quantum Traders have been running on royalties for the last 6 months. It's just funny to me that they haven't fell on their own sword months ago and zeroed them. If I could, you know, it'd be interesting to see what they've got to say about that.
It's a little hypocritical. I had the same conversation today where I posted, like, it's surprising that Yaw hasn't dropped Steins to zero from three and Quantum Traders from eight to zero. It's also interesting to see the second collection having a much higher royalty if they're so okay getting rid of royalties here.
8%, is it?
Quantum Traders. Yeah, Quantum Traders is 8. Steins would be. Clearly they needed a little bit more money coming in, but hey, what do I know?
Just get these guys delisted off Eden ASAP, seriously.
That would be an interesting counter-argument there if they did delist them and made all that volume have to flow through that. We've seen a few other projects really suffer without the main marketplace being where the eyes are on it. I did want to pass it over to Paladin. I know we've had some differing conversations and opinions on it. Want to hear your take quickly and then kind of pass around to a few of the other hands.
Yeah, I don't know how quickly I can say this, but my question is, how do royalties make sense if for a project to build itself, they need royalties? So you're telling me I have to leave the project, and by me leaving the project, they're going to get royalties to make the project better. So my question is, for example, let's say a project is so good that not a single holder wants to sell the NFT anymore. So there won't be like consistent royalties. So how would a project function then if there's just no sales available?
It's an interesting thing. I think some of the key pieces on it were that royalties are an additional avenue for revenue, not the only one. I think DCF was in that situation with the coin flip. They had a pre-launch coin flip. They do take 3% of every transaction on that. So that's business to business or business to consumer. They get a kickback from that. But there's been times where DCF has had zero listed, but when one sells, they get 5% of every 400 SOL. So they're getting 20 SOL off the bat of that. That's a solid chunk of change going into their sales. It also drives the floor price higher so that when a sale does happen, it's a larger revenue generation activity. I don't think royalties are the only form of revenue they should be focused on, but while you're building something as a business, you're now giving value back to those early investors. In this case, you could call it Web3 VCs, the consumer, the early investor. Now, as a project, you incentivize people to want to bring that floor price up, having a higher value, which allows the royalties to be a certain kickback percentage. So it's this dynamic where because of a royalty exists, you want to incentivize those secondary sales and you want to also drive the floor price higher. It's a dynamic here that's an interesting paradigm. I don't think it needs to be specific where you only make royalties. I do think this is going to now drive projects to actually have a value add outside of just secondary sales. But I think having a royalty in general puts that hard focus on the business to create something that people do want to hold on to drive the floor price up, but also are comfortable selling to make a return on. Does that make sense? Oh, no, Paladin still.
Yeah, makes sense. It kind of makes sense.
Yeah, I just think there's a balance there. But all right, I want to pass it back over to Benny. Benny, what's going on?
Yo, what's going on? I just wanted to say that I think that y'all ultimately is promoting a better discussion. That's what Solana is all about at the end of the day, is like we're trying to be more serious. And I think one thing we should also consider with regards to royalties is, why does a project have royalties right after mint, right? They raise all these funds. Like, I feel like there should be somewhat of a wait time, and that's something we didn't really consider before, like yesterday with this whole like creator royalty feature.
Yeah, it's going to be this like happy balance, I guess. I mean, dude, if you give somebody the option to not pay anything, it's just like they're not going to pay anything. It's sadly human psychology. Like, there's, if they could save money anywhere, they're going to. But Poppy, what's going on? Then we'll hit Joe, Frisk, and KTC.
Yeah, I just think just looking at it, it's interesting how pretty much everyone up here to some degree has capitulated that it won't be the same going forward. We don't really know what the outcome is going to be, but everyone is going to be looking at ways to sort of iterate, and whether or not that's subscription models, lower royalties on the project's part, no royalties, I don't know that anyone can really say, but it's an interesting conversation. I guess it's just cool to reflect on that. And my final real point is that the single most convenient thing, regardless of royalties and whatnot, is liquidity. And so I think that will be sort of the tail of the tape looking forward. You know, do people actually list and interact on Yaw? Because I can tell you right now, if you go and you look at the listings, there's still twice as many quantum traders listed on Magic Eden as there are on Yaw's own new zero fee marketplace. And there's like single digits for the vast majority of projects on there. So regardless of how impactful this might be for a conversation about where the space goes forward, I think that it'll be really difficult for there to be any, tangible change in that consumer behavior if the money doesn't continually flow over. And on day one, on launch day, if it's not moving, I don't know how much action we're going to see over the next month or two.
Yeah, if they ramp marketing efforts, we could see a lot of it. I think it's just how much of it's going to be in your face. I mean, there's definitely a preference towards people that do trade a lot, but I think there's this, man, there's an interesting balance going on right now of people who are open to this, who are okay with this, but it's crazy that the central conversation here comes down to like, this is going to lead to a change, and no one's really sure what that change is. But KTC, what's going on?
Dude, one other thing, I think it was Paladin who brought up a great point of like, you know, like because now the incentives have changed, like I'm thinking about it in the sense that what does that mean from a product perspective on being able to have a product ready pre-mint? So if you're not, so imagine the confidence a project could have and say, we don't need your royalty. We already have pre-revenue ready, or we already have an already existing clientele. So like, we're just trying to get the original funds to secure our bag and then create profit for the future. We don't need secondary royalties because like, we're confident in our ability to execute. So then it makes you question, like, can one of these platforms decrease the amount of rugs that are able to launch on their platform? I don't know, but I think it's a great thing to watch play out.
If they can decrease the rugs, that'll be a big thing here. But I feel like rugs are going to be more incentivized to launch now with everyone complaining about royalties. They're just going to up the mid price and then just be like, dude, there's no money left. Like, see ya. You know, it's there's got to be something that happens here. I still think Magic Eden's going to retain market share. They're just, P.O. brought it up earlier, they're just so constantly in your face. They're shitposting, memeing, doing everything and more to just like be a part of the community, which everything drives on Twitter. So it's interesting to see that. And I think we all have kind of become partial to Magic Eden as well. So seeing this is interesting. But I wanted to pass it back over to Joe. Joe, what's going on?
Hey, hi. Hello to everybody. I mean, this is like a very interesting topic. And so I've just been like listening to people. So I just want to touch on the fact that in as much as we're trading NFTs, we need to still center down to remember that this is Web3. And this is a form of decentralization, and that in decentralization, when it comes to like the whole, you know, the concept of decentralization, it is that we are supposed to be made our own banks and our own bank and you know, our own bankers. So you're a banker and you're also like the banks. And so even like in these NFTs, you know, like in the traditional businesses of like, you know, being taken down to like NFTs, you know, it's just like a form of this is just like an innovation part of like the decentralization. So when we take out like the royalties, because when you look at the whole sentence of decentralization, we understand that are like that different aspect that people, you know, take, you know, to make sure that the whole system goes properly. We have the validators, we have different people that take different roles to make sure that everything is going on smoothly. Hence, everybody has a role to play. So when we look at this and like the royalty part of it, I mean, it feels like when you just remove like the royalties from like a project, it literally just takes out like, you know, for like projects that really are like building and have like things, you know, have like their roadmap planned out, you know, for like a very long term, you know, in the space of like 5 to 10 years and even 5 years, you know, you would understand that, you know, when you take like royalties from like projects like this, you literally, you know, trickled or like, you know, burn down like the plans and, you know, innovations that could be done with like these funds. So in as much as you know, these funds look pretty much like it's just like the projects are taking up and still taking and still hanging, you know, even after like the main funds and all of these things. When you look at like, you know, traditional businesses, you would see that, you know, these royalties are not even supposed to be removed. So when I look at projects like, you know, say like DGods and you know, I probably have not, you know, spoken to Frank to understand why he allows the OTC trades, but like on a traditional business is business where, you know, there's a level of building, like you're supposed to build a very big, you know, big project.
Yeah.
And, you know,
and I do think here some of those royalty things, I think we brought up a lot of the conversation being that we understand the royalties are probably going to get cheaper here. That's kind of the thing that's going to have to happen. But on top of this too, you bring up a good point about these royalties being part of what the project hopes to receive to keep building. I think that a few conversations I've had have kind of shifted my viewpoint on that. I do think it's a needed additional revenue, but can't be leveraged as heavily in something like a forecast or a focus point. I did want to pass it over to Frisk real quick, and then we're going to hit Tom and then up to Paladin again. Frisk, what's going on?
Okay, I'm going to try not to go on a tangent, but I'll make this as quick as possible. So the biggest thing here, I think that's so controversial is that there's so many different definitions of what an NFT can be. Everyone says, yeah, but you know, whenever you trade like something like, there's no royalties in regards to, let's say, let's use the collectible market, for example. I used to trade vintage video games. And most people in NFTs, they used to end up trading like Pokemon cards or whatever it was. And like you would just, there was never a royalty because a lot of it was hand to hand. But you look at something like the art industry with things like film and TV and music, there's always royalties on top of that And there's a market for that as well. And there's a reason for that because it's the business model that's built off of it. So when we look at NFTs as art, why is it fair that visual artists don't get the same sort of royalty treatment as musicians or as filmmakers do? I know it's not apple to apples in that respect, but there's a correlation there that I think needs to be made. There is obviously the business model argument where NFTs aren't just art, they're also businesses as well. And you are able to notice that NFTs can act as collectibles, they can act as tools, and they are at the end of the day just strings of code. But at the end of the day, there is an opportunity here for Web3 to provide that sort of incentive for creators to keep building. And I always felt that was one of the coolest parts of it. Yes, you do deserve full sovereignty over whatever asset it is that you own. And we can see it very clearly with Frank putting out the tweets showing that a lot of OTC trades are happening for DGods because of those 10% royalties. And so I think, Easy, you're right. We are going to see that decrease in royalties now because this is a big wake-up call for everybody. You can't keep charging this much. It was the same reason why I faded a lot of projects in the beginning, because I kept seeing 7.5, 8.8, 10% royalties. I was fucking sick of it. I was like, I don't want to be trading this shit. This is exhausting. But now we have an opportunity here to not try and, I guess, pick which projects do and don't, or even art, do and don't deserve those royalties. The same way that Yaw is picking out how one of one artists do and don't deserve it. The gray area is more stronger now than ever, and I don't know what's going to come out on top, but I think that it's something that we have to acknowledge, that NFTs are so many things in one as well. Also, the name Yaw is stupid. There, I said it.
Hey, well, preference towards the name, I guess you could call it that. Real quick, though, wanted to just cut in here, hit a little room reset. I know we got a ton of emotions about Yaw cutting out, getting rid of all the royalties. Conversation's been electric. Appreciate y'all tuning in. We still got another 30 minutes today. I'm confident it'll be all around Yaw, how we feel about this. Do projects deserve royalties, and much more? This is Solana Made Easy, 5 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday to Thursday. We're not going anywhere. We got a lot more to talk about. Wanted to pass it over real quick to Tom, who's had his hand up for a while. Then we'll hit Paladin and get to a few more of these hands. We've got a bunch of requests, cycling speakers. If you got some comments on the current situation, please do request. But Tom, what's going on?
Yeah, you know, I've hammered on this point before, so I won't go too in-depth to it, but I think, you know, this all kind of leads into my whole thought process about MVPs, minimal viable products for pre-mint, you know, showing that you have something coming, because your first, even if the royalty fees are less, you know, your first pump is going to come after mint if you sell out. As we saw yesterday in the last couple of days, even D-Gen mints, you know, they push through 80% of their value in the first, you know, 24 hours most of the time. And I think that business model, if it was transparent with the community and they took that revenue from the royalties right away and built more revenue streams on top of that, using that and was telling their community about it, I think they'd have a better idea of people saying like, okay, I don't mind paying that because I'm getting a return here in value on my NFT and I feel that my opinion is valued. I'm holding something that's growing and being built. Rather than, you know, seeing what I've seen with a lot of projects that have reached out to me about having all of their money in SOL from royalties from 6 months ago or in January, and now it's worth that much less because they've been building it up to do something with it, and now it's worth a lot less. I think there's a lot of financial mismanagement with it as well, and that's where people get frustrated.
Oh, people absolutely get frustrated from it. And I think that's part of this whole conversation is like, should projects rely on royalties at all for future growth or not? I mean, I believe it is a good alternative revenue stream, but it's tough to forecast on. I wanted to pass it over to Paladin real quick. Paladin, what's going on?
Yeah, I think once you launch a project, royalties are fine to like help you grow, but I don't think it's a smart like idea to purely depend on royalties. Like, for example, Taijo Robotics, like Tom pays out of pocket like 60,000 minimum every month to like hire programmers, artists, like everything like that has to do with Taijo is basically out of his own pocket because he has his own revenue streams and his own businesses. And the same is with Rogue the Revenants, for example. They have like, I don't know if this is public information or not, but they have a couple hundred of thousands every month of like revenue which they can use to grow the project, so they as well like don't depend on royalties. Like, if your project purely depends on royalties, I think that's just a bit stupid. Also, Frisk, yo, doesn't sound stupid. You sound stupid. Thank you.
Well, I like to fire back there. I don't know what it is, but I guess my comment back on it then is like, if they shouldn't rely on royalties, why charge them at all? You know, it's like, if there's these other income streams, why recognize it to that extent? That's the toughest part for me is like, I think that projects do look at that. Like Taijo changed the revenue wallet from royalties to go to a new wallet post D-Rug for a reason. Like they do value that money and those funds, and they have plans for those funds in an anticipation that they'll get something rather than zero.
it's going to be interesting to see how projects kind of rely on that and message it moving forward to justify a high royalty or not. And I think the projects that go for this like 8 to 10% range are going to see more of their volume on Yaw, whereas other projects may benefit from a lower sub 5% and actually keep getting that volume on something like a Magic Eden. But Sweeper, what's going on? Then we'll hit Steve, Manny, Running Man.
Hey guys, yeah, I think it's a bit of a nothing burger on Yaw until people really start trading volume. You saw this with Alphar. I mean, they cut their fees. If you had four piggies, you could trade on there for free. Barely anyone traded. I think cutting into Magic Eden's behemoth of a market share, until and unless people do that, I think it's just something interesting to talk about for us right now during this like bear market. But I think royalty discussion downwards is always good for traders, but I don't think zero royalties are going to fly. I think we should maybe think, like I think Frank talked about, they may reduce their royalty. I think personally, what I think would be great is people reduce their royalty depending on the volume that they've made off royalties, and have some sort of pre-decided ladder down for their project. I think that Yaw probably is not going to do much. I asked Gaius, who is like a big Yaw supporter, how he felt, and I think he thinks they can still scale.
I saw those comments, dude. I was happy you asked Gaius about it, because I was really interested too. He's outspoken as anyone about Yaw, so it was interesting to see that he feels that they can keep scaling. I also wanted to shout out NFT Peasant, just sending me Static Devs Twitter, who's publicly posting some things about the marketplace and kind of what they're doing. It looks like as of 3 hours ago, there was about 530 listings on Yaw. 41 had full royalties, 132 had reduced royalties, and 352 had no royalties. So you're still looking at like a 70-ish percent of no royalties on that, like 65%. That's interesting to see, but I think that's the number that's going to increase exponentially, is going to be that no royalties, if I were to bet on it. I think some royalties will be amped up. I think full royalties will go down to zero eventually, because there's still more volume on other marketplaces where that liquidity kind of goes. I wanted to pass it back over to Manny here, who's had their hand up for a while. Then we'll hit Steve, Running, and Ulysp.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a quick comment about these projects and what they're doing. They're building an airplane as it falls out of the sky, right? And for you to want to take away a potential revenue stream, although they're not reliant on it, you can't just cut them off that quick, right? Because they don't even know what they're doing yet. Nobody's figured it out. So I think it's not fair to kind of cut them out completely. But that's just my take. It's my opinion. The market will be the market. And I'm kind of surprised it took this long to figure it out.
I just think it's pretty crazy to see. It's like it comes when there's like almost peak OTC volume right now, with a lot of things kind of going out of the market. It feels like everyone's trying to make sure they can save any last bit of liquidity that they have in their hands. But I wanted to pass it over to Steve. Steve, what's going on?
Pow, pow. So first, thanks, Easy, for running this space. This is without question the best space on Twitter, period. So keep up the good work to you, Running Man, everyone. Fantastic, fantastic job. I think somebody mentioned it a little while ago. They said, you know, this is an interesting topic. However, I don't think we're going to be talking about this from a year from now. And I agree. I think it's going to make some changes in the space. You know, projects are going to do different things. But what I'm really curious about, and I know we don't really have an open forum here to, you know, vote or get everybody to chime in, but how many times do you actually check, you know, the artist royalties before you buy stuff? I mean, for me, if I'm buying a project that's something that I actually believe in, I believe in the founders, I believe in the project, that's something I'm going to hold, I don't look at it at all.
Looks like the little one got in the way there. All good.
Happens. Oh, yeah. No, I'm good. So the question, like, I only look at royalties, honestly, if I'm doing a quick flip, right? So at that point, like, does the royalty even matter? I'm curious what everybody thinks about it. And I think, honestly, this is going to become a wash long term. But I see Frank's in the audience here, so I'll step aside of my chair. Keep up the good work, everyone.
No, I appreciate the comments, Steve. It's interesting to hear, like, a lot of people think that this may eliminate y'all from like the marketplace. I think to play devil's advocate for my comments as well, I'm honestly like kind of happy that somebody made this swing, because this is going to lead to a change regardless of it, and it's going to let the market decide what that change may be. If more people go to Yaw and emphasize this lack of royalties or choose your own royalty, Magic Eden and other marketplaces are going to have to adapt. And at the same time, if Yaw doesn't get traction here, so be it. They took a swing. They're not making money off this, it appears, aside from the listing fee. It's going to create a dynamic and a decision that the market is going to drive. And that's where a lot of the conversations I've had have almost shifted my thoughts. I was really outspoken earlier today on it and still feel strongly that royalties have a place. But this is Web3. Like, the market's going to decide what the preference is. But Running Man, what's going on? And then we'll hit Ulysses, Poppy, Souts, and Solana Sweeper. Yeah.
To be honest, Easy, I'm not completely with you on that comment that you just said there.
That's fine. You don't got to be. Yeah. Let's hear it.
Now I'm completely on board with you. This is a great catalyst to start the conversation for lower royalties. I mean, you know, I'm a trader on Solana, and there's a ton of traders. You know, we put a ton of volume through the market, and low royalties just opens us up to be able to trade in it. You know, there's a lot of different strategies you can employ now. I mean, just to answer what Steve said, you know, when we're trading, I'm automatically looking at the royalty percentages before I even start trading a collection, just to see how we're going to approach it, you know, and what sort of plays we can make, you know, how tight are the ranges we can trade, etc. So, great catalyst for, you know, creating the conversation around it. You know, it can only lead to a better environment going forward, in my opinion.
And I think that's kind of the thing we all agree on, is like, this is going to change something. What that something is, we don't know yet, but it's definitely going to be something. What's going on, Ulysses? I know you've had your hand up for a while.
Yo, what's up? Thanks for the opportunity to share my opinion. So I came to this topic with kind of an open mind, but after, you know, hearing all sides, I think there should be more competition on the marketplaces. But in my opinion, Yaw is playing a shitty move here, because it's trying to outcompete Magic Eden, but by cutting the artist royalties, and I don't see that as a fair move. So I don't know what's going to happen to the market. I think definitely we're going to start seeing royalties from the artists going down. I don't know how Magic Eden can respond. I don't see Magic Eden now removing the artist royalties from their platform. The thing that I don't know whether projects are going to start doing, for example, let's say D-Gods, whether it would be possible for them to implement something like limiting functionality of their NFTs, like no staking for dust, if that NFT had been, you know, traded OTC or, you know, in one of these platforms. So are we going to start seeing projects, you know, trying to undermine this type of transactions that do not pay them the royalties?
I don't think Magic Eden will completely eliminate it either. I do think that, like, the big thing here is we all agree, like, artists, independent artists, there is that interesting thing, and it's fascinating that Yaw took that stance to keep one-of-one art off the platform. They still need to verify it for these listings. So it looks like there's going to be still some hand in this and some control from their point of view on what gets listed, what doesn't, what can actually take advantage or leverage this system. But I wanted to pass it over to Poppy, then we'll hit Souts, Tom, and Sweeper.
Yeah, I actually had one last thing that you could pop me down and let some other people rotate up here. But we can really all thank for this conversation, you know, HGE, who went on the warpath about Yaw charging a fee for the OTC trades when FoxySwap was free, and saying, why would you use Yaw when FoxySwap has no fees associated? And Yaw decided not only would they remove their fees, they would remove everyone else's. So that's really all roads lead back there. It's interesting to see how it progresses.
So we can thank Ethereum for this too. 9x9x9, now known as HGE, is the root cause of all of this. You heard it first from Poppy. Thanks, Poppy. But no, it's you do say Foxy did not have fees, but you still needed like the Foxy token to do the trades. So I guess the argument could be made that you needed at least 300ths of a penny to make a swap. You know, but it's hilarious that they really did away with everything. I want to see how some of these other markets adapt to this. And really, it's like, the main thing is, if no volume goes on Yaw, nothing is going to change. Maybe we get a couple small things, but I do think there's a lot of kind of causes and effects that have to happen here. Tom, what's going on?
Yeah, you kind of hit on what I was going to say. I mean, you know, hopefully we're all here in this, you know, not so great market trend. And what happens if Sol goes back up, or when Sol goes back up, and we see, you know, half of the volume on OpenSea, on ME, you know, like, that, all of that money now gets multiplied a ton. And I think that a lot of times we get caught in this short-term thought process here of like, what are we going to do next week, next month? I kind of always zoom out maybe to a fault and I'm trying to think what happens when we see, you know, massive adoption, you know, in 2 years, in 5 years, you know, are we going to have to revisit this conversation or are we going to figure out a long-term solution now? You know, it's very interesting to see what happens there. But at the end of the day, I mean, volume drives everything that we do from D-Gods down to a D-Gen Mint. You know, that's just what we all look at. And I think, you know, it factors into the pricing of a rare too, or like an airdrop. What happens when a free airdrop from a large name project all of a sudden runs a 12% royalty or a 0% royalty? And that's a complete value to the holder. Now they can sell and keep 100% of those profits. I think it just opens a wormhole for the long-term future.
I like the conversation, like, where are we going to be in 5 years? Because I think we are going to look back on this and just be shocked at some of our takes on a lot of things, even outside this one specific situation. I'm glad that we really are shaping a lot of this because of these conversations and our takes and what we're ultimately going to do in the market. But Souts, what's going on?
Yeah, I'm very interested to see what this does and how it shakes up the other marketplaces. I'm pretty bullish on royalty fees, especially if the team's continuing to build. I think that they deserve the secondary fees, but I'm just waiting for, it's interesting to see that they're going to gatekeep what projects can and can't go on it. I didn't know that, but I feel like a project's going to do similar to what Wizard did and somehow program in the smart contract. If you sell it on this marketplace, your NFT will get burned. I don't know. I think that could potentially happen.
There's been a few project creators who have mentioned adjusting something there, whether it's updating royalties from that so that they're maxed out or changing the metadata, something along those lines, because they still have that update authority and can see which escrow wallets the NFT has gone through. I don't think that's the best decision, but shit, like, at the end of the day, if you want to push it back.
Yeah, I don't advocate for it. I don't think it's the best decision either, but I'm just waiting. I feel like that'll
certainly a decision. I mean, shout out Yogi. I was in a space earlier. Someone, Soulbear PFP, brought it up. It was like, if anyone remembers the Hot Spring Apes, if you listed under 2 Soul, he turned the ape into a banana. And I said it there too. I have 61 bananas because I was intentionally just listing under because it was hilarious to me. But like, especially for something expensive, man. If you update that, I would be so pissed just because of where I made a trade.
Easy. I mean, if they could detect, you know, the escrow transaction, what would somebody, I mean, Frank's just stepping up now, but what would stop D-Gods zeroing the royalties down to 0% and then setting the bitch tax that they had at 33% to the royalties that they had before? So we're automatically taxing at royalty level.
Well, I'm going to ignore all the people who have had their hand up for quite some time because now you can actually ask Frank from D-Gods. Welcome, Frank.
GM.
How you living? How you feel about this? I know you've been an outspoken advocate against the OTC situation and have been discussing potential solutions. So, I mean, I'm curious. Well, I know I heard your opinion at 7 a.m. I hope you got some rest now that it's 6.
Yeah, a little bit. Well, I just wanted to clarify first that we as D-Gods have been like supporters of OTC trading from the beginning. I posted earlier some stats. Like, we've had a buy sell trade channel in our own fucking Discord, you know, since mint and this entire run up, we've supported it. We've given it a place so that people don't get scammed, right? People are going to do it anyway. We've been doing it in a way so people don't get scammed. They have a safe place to talk about it, et cetera. My main issue with this whole topic is it's just like a lack of understanding of incentive alignment. Like, right now, about 2-3 weeks ago, you know, we started out with this kind of meta of like free mints, kind of starting with the whole Goblin Town run over on ETH. And we're talking about like cheaper mints, and everyone was like super into the idea. Yeah, cheaper mints, projects earn on royalties. Now it's like, oh, well, projects are earning too much on royalties, so we should also lower that, which I'm okay with. We're gonna adapt, we're gonna be fine. I just think it's something to think about, where you're just basically setting up a situation where more people are going to get rugged, more project founders are going to give up, and more project founders are going to be incentivized to mint again and again and again. And I just like think that's
the worst part, bro. That's multiple worst mints part, we're going to get. Like, we're going to get so many mints, like 400,000 supply collections because they can't make money elsewhere.
I'm looking at these replies, not even just to me, to other people that have like talked about this. And you got these anonymous cartoon JPEGs. They're going up to founders and saying like, yo, take your fucking pay cut, bitch. Yo, now, you know, now you work for me, bitch. I'm like, all right, bro, let's see what happens. I really wonder what's going to happen, you know, when they have all of the money in a centralized wallet and you're talking to them about taking a pay cut, how they don't deserve this money, and how they need to go start some separate business that's sustainable, and making fun of them for not having alternative revenue streams. I really, really wonder, guys, what is going to happen to all of these fringe projects that would maybe have done something that now are basically going to rug a lot of people and then go mint some shit anonymously again, is my guess of if this thing even catches on. But I just think it's not even about y'all to me or y'all catching on. This whole past like few days is just illuminated. There's a certain way that people like think in this space. And I think it's pretty funny. It's just a lack of understanding of aligning incentives. And that's the best part of NFTs. And that's what just, you know, made me more upset about this. But fuck it, bro. Fuck it. We ball. We'll be fine.
I think the NFT space will be here to stay for sure, regardless of it. I'm just, man, there's so many different takes on it. And it's interesting to hear from like a project creator standpoint, because my main conversation was like, the royalty percentage incentivizes a project creator to give back value to original supporters. And without it, like you said, they're just going to launch more projects. Like, screw the people who backed me. That doesn't generate me any more money. And sadly, like, we're pretty capitalistic human beings globally. There's just part of what happens, you know, like, it is what it is. We'll see how it kind of pans out. I'm curious to see if there's any major traction there. Go ahead.
One more question. I actually have a question for the
room.
So you guys tell me, right, if it's in y'all's right to basically disregard creator royalties, is it in our right to not allow anyone that trades OTC to stake for dust, for example? That's the question for the room.
I think it is, but like, yeah. I think there also needs to be some clarity in it. Cause I guess the other conversation then is like, it's your NFT. It's what you want to do with it. You paid for the good at the start of it. Why can't you trade it? And I guess then the conversation goes down to like, you could even go to web two. Like you sell a car for cash. Some people don't report the cash type thing, you know, there's not paying taxes on it. It's sketchy, but it's still like, it happens. The tough part is like
the clarification there, Easy. And this is where I want, you know, the nuance in the conversation is, yes, I agree. It is your NFT. You do own that JPEG. But all the additional perks that an NFT comes with, whether that's staking for dust, access to a Discord, you know, like any of the number of things that you get with an NFT, I do wonder, like, if those are, I mean, I don't see why we should honor that on our end.
I mean, if you've listened to the board, Frank, I mean, you'll have heard that we're all in favor of royalties up here, pretty much. I mean, you know, it's been pro royalties on here, pretty much. I mean, secondly, you know, we don't own JPEGs. We own, you know, that's a representation of us owning a piece of the project. So, yeah, completely agree with you. What I was going to ask you, I don't know if you heard when you're stepping up. I mean, isn't there a way to like detect escrow transactions? Zero royalties.
It's so easy. It would be so easy for us to literally for any project to do fucked up shit to NFTs.
Couldn't you like 0% the royalties and then just set the bitch tax that you had at 33% at the royalty level to automatically take it on escrow? Is what I was going to ask.
No, that's a different thing. Metaplex is working on this where it's baked into the actual NFT, like the token in the metadata standard itself, where the take fee and the marketplace fee actually would be baked into the NFT and it would read these smart contracts. I do think that's like many months away though. So that is going, like, people are just like, you know, people don't understand how the space is going to move and people are going to make moves in one direction. Other people will make moves in other directions. Like, eventually, honestly, all these royalties will just be baked into contracts if people enjoy the way the NFT space is like incentivized with royalties. If everybody hates that and everyone just wants art, okay, like, no, you know, people can go through and like they don't want teams working on projects, that's fine, then everything will fucking die. But yeah, like, Metaplex is going to build that into the contract itself. That's going to happen. I just think it's going to take many, many months for them to get that out.
Yeah, okay. That's good to know, though, at least.
But right now, it's not possible. Right now, for context for people in the room on the technical side, Magic Eden doesn't actually need to honor the royalties. Solana Art doesn't need to honor the royalties. No marketplace needs to honor the royalties. I believe even OpenSea, they don't. It is more of a social construct of what like keeps the ecosystem going is like, hey, in the metadata of the NFT, they have the percentage. And then the marketplaces, as part of their code base, will charge that percentage. It's a optional thing that they all do as like a social construct. They definitely don't have to do it in its current iteration of NFTs. That being said, like I mentioned, Metaplex, who built the standard of all the NFTs we have as our fucking PFPs, they're working on the next standard called the Digital Asset Standard 2.0. And that is going to have these maker-taker fees that will be baked into the contract itself.
So we only got about 12 minutes here. Frank, I appreciate that clarity because I thought that was still required from the smart contract. So it's in, this is like a – it's damn, that's crazy that it's a social construct to an extent that they just call on it from the smart contract level and look at metadata. It's quite literally no more than just like text on the chain. So that's wild. I never realized that. But Shake, what's going on? We're going to pass it around. Hopefully keep it a little quick here. Like I said, we got about 12 minutes.
Yeah, bro. I'll try to make it super quick. I think really good points by Frank, and I'll try not to like repeat what he said. But I've seen a lot of people say like this whole narrative of like, oh, NFT projects need to be making revenue outside of it. And I don't know. Ever since I got into NFTs, like that wasn't really the point of it. It's kind of a new thing on Solana where you're building out these like tech companies that provide services and you get dividends. But I don't think that you know, when the Bored Ape profile pic craze started, like that. Like to me, that's never what it was about. And that I've seen also people go like, you know, ask the question, like, what other products do you get lifetime royalties on? Right. And to me, I'm like, there's none. That's the fucking point. This is some new shit, you know, like that's what makes it interesting is that the alignment of incentives, like Frank said, but I've kind of played this out in my head a little bit. And I think that like most NFT traders are like that guy who talked earlier with the whale. And like most people buy like something that's relatively cheap. You know, like, you know, let's say under 10, under 20 SOL, and they buy it in hopes of price appreciation of like 100 to 200%. So that's just anecdotally like what I think that the normal trader does. And I think to those people that the royalty fee doesn't matter that much. Now, I've been in MonkeyDAO since it began, and in MonkeyDAO, the OTC thing has been huge for a while because they're trading at 50, 60K. Frank said about DGOD. So I do think that, you know, it's potentially like it'll make it those OTC trades easier. Like people hate Discord and they'll just be able to like post it on a marketplace. So I'd be a little bit interested to see what happens with the higher end stuff. But I think for the average NFT trader, they're just going to go where the volume and liquidity is. I don't see this like, you know, taking away enough volume to make most traders who are just doing like low market cap flips. I don't see them going to Yah. That's just my take.
I think only time will tell. I'm going to keep a close eye on how many transactions actually happen. I think that data is interesting to see how many people are moving NFTs on there and what they're actually using for that percentage of the royalty. I think that's going to give us a more clear understanding probably in like the next week or two of how feasible this is and how realistic it is to actually get market share. But Tom, what's going on? Then we'll hit Sweeper, Paladin, and wrap it up with Running Man.
Yeah, I just wanted to touch a little bit on what Frank said about the staking situation. I mean, you're providing a service, security, overhead, for staking, and you know, it's not like you're burning the NFT. I think it's completely valid to take that away from someone for selling for 0%. Personally, you know, I think I work at one of the largest banks in the world. There's transaction fees, there's monthly maintenance fees. I get customers every day that look at me like I'm pocketing their fee in my pocket, which is hilarious to me. And it's like, no, this is a $1 billion corporation. I don't see any of that money. And I think that's part of the issue with the royalties too, is people think, you know, Frank's going out and buying beers with this and doing all that stuff, which is just not the case. There's a lot of overhead. The bigger the project, the higher the floor, you know, the more income you need to bring in to service that and keep it at a high level, which is, I know, something that they want to do. So I think there's just some misconception there.
It's like a lot of people forget that there are fees with everything. Like, dude, you try to take your own money out of an ATM to then spend your own money, there's a fee. You use a credit card, you're getting charged a fee. Like, there's things that a lot of people just have in their everyday activity that they don't realize has an added cost value to it, and you just almost accept it. This, I think this is where we get a shift. Lower royalties to the point where it's minimal. The project still gets that. People that move the product are okay with it. We don't worry about these kind of no-fee situations. Man, I don't know, though. We're still growing so much as a space. It's just like, this is insane to think from every different data point and reason, I guess. Like, I see both sides on a lot of it. But Sweeper, what's going on?
Yeah, I think a lot of people got into NFTs and didn't really understand how an NFT works and what an NFT is. They think that they have a DGOD. That means it's their DGOD. And they own the entire thing and nothing can happen to that DGOD. I mean, they could... Everything is stored somewhere. They could just take all the images off and then you're left with just the token. I think a lot of people think that, you know, I own it, so I should be able to do whatever I want with it. I think that's a path to, you know, to failure if these guys get nothing. I think it's also interesting. Everyone talks about Famous Fox being all these like really great builders, but they do the same thing as Yao does. And I, for some reason, people, I guess Yao is making it a little bit easier for you to do you know, royalty-free trades, and Famous Fox is a little bit more difficult, but I think they're all cut from the same cloth, and I would be interested to hear what, you know, maybe after the next Easy Eats Bodega show, we could talk about that and how they basically are the same, and I'm curious what Frank thinks. I'll maybe hit him up later about that, and I think this, obviously for Dust or whatever staking mechanism, you can do whatever you want. If someone's doing an OTC trade, or if they're doing a Yaw or Foxy trade, you don't like them like that, then don't participate. Don't let them stake. I remember back in the day, SMB people used to cry about getting their OTC trades scammed, and then eventually they're like, "Yeah, we can't like sponsor OTC trades. We're not going to let you do it anymore. And if you lose your money, it's kind of like on you." I think that's how it should be. If you want to, you know, support the community, support it. If you want to trade OTC or through these other entities, go ahead and do it. But, you know, you're going to hurt the community and you're going to hurt, you know, your pockets in the long run. That being said, I would do an OTC trade depending on, you know, whatever is in my best interest. So I think, well, let's just all be honest. Some guy said, I don't look at the royalties. My guy, you cannot trade size. No,
that's wild. That's wild. That's wild. I'm just saying, like, I understand royalties. I just also agree they should probably be lower. Like, that's where I'm sitting in this situation. I'm cool with them. Let's get like 2 to 4%.
One thing to think about, though, easy. No, and I'm down. I just wanted to throw this out to the room as a feeler, because we're probably going to end up doing this. We're probably going to end up lowering our royalty percentage from 9.99% to about 5%. And we're probably going to make it. And we'll see, right? Let's test it out. And we'll probably from there also be preventing people that, you know, do OTC trades from being able to stake for Dust, unless they like kind of pay whatever the percentage on the second, really quick here. And my only thing I want people to consider is we want projects to like do just as well as like, you know, as the upper end of ETH did. We want projects to go to really high floor prices. And we've seen, I think, when D-Gods OK Bears like does really well, it does like it does look good for the ecosystem, and it does bring in more people into the ecosystem because they see the huge upside. My only thing is, like, look, you know, the higher that we go on Solana, the slower the volume gets. So this push for lower and lower fees, I mean, like for us, I actually don't know if we will end up making more money or less as an entity of D-Gods from lowering the royalties, because I just don't know how many people can afford D-Gods at the higher floor price range. And I don't know if our volume will ever be that dominating or that monstrous, you know, in terms of like the number of sales per day. And so, like, basically you're telling, you know, a business to cut their percentage that they make, or cut the amount that they make in half per day, or even more in certain cases. And that's like, you know, it's definitely going to be a challenge for a lot of projects. We're lucky that we have a lot of other shit in the works and we're going to be okay. But, like, you know, just remember, like, that's basically what's happening. And that is going to have downstream effects. And let's just say more devs are going to be buying Lambos very soon. I do believe that.
Yeah, I think we might start seeing more car dealership photos on the timeline as more of these projects launch at a higher mint cost and a 0% royalty trying to combat. And I think we're going to run with some of it, sadly, but I guess only time will tell.
I just love losing money, dude. I've just come to this conclusion, and I'm like, okay, like, this has got to be the explanation for a lot of stuff in this space. Some people like are very masochistic, and they just want to like see the fucking world burn, and they want to lose their own money. I don't get, you know, whatever. But yeah, I think that's just explains a lot.
Well, especially in the downturn, man. Sometimes I just be buying stuff just to feel something, and I think that that's kind of how it is for a lot of people. Whether it's stolen art or a project literally just ripped from ETH, there's a good chance if I just have nothing better to do, I'm gonna buy a couple. But it's a problem that I think many people up here suffer. Paladin, I don't know if you had your hand still up. Anything to touch on there before we pass it over to Running Man and wrap it up here?
Well, no, Mr. Frank stole every single word out of my mouth, so he literally said everything for me. So yeah, that's all from me. Thank you.
No, I appreciate it. Glad to have some back and forth opinions here from a ton of the speakers today. But Running Man, what's going on?
Yeah, I think in the short term, I think the collections of the highest floors get hit the hardest straight away, pretty much. I don't think Yaw will handle the volume of the lower collections trading, and I think they'll pretty much stand the Magic Eden. But I think in the short term, the highest floors, I'm going to see movement over onto Yaw for OTC trading. Secondly, I'm not going to get too deep, but this whole model that you're showing, it gives me vibes of like communism as opposed to capitalism. Everybody should do, give it away for free and all pull together. And we should decide how much we want to pay collections and leave it in the hands of the community. Whereas we all know how the communism model did as opposed to capitalism. And I think eventually we'll see that showing in this space as well. So yeah, I'll round off with that.
No, I think that's a great way to kind of wrap that up here. I mean, I'm glad we had the entire show today focused on this situation. It's been the hot button topic. Ton of varying opinions. I know I've been going back and forth on how I feel on a ton of it, but I think one thing's damn clear. We're going to be back on Monday at 5 p.m. Eastern time for Solana Made Easy. Thanks for tuning in today. We appreciate you. Follow all the speakers. Love the conversation. We'll catch you next week.